Blog Talk Radio.
True Talk Radio, episode 137. Happy New Year. Exit 2019. Enter 2020. Here we are, man. New year. Same old grind. Same old love for the sport of boxing. Still repping boxing like always. And it's our first big weekend of boxing. It's here. It's happening. Starts tomorrow, Friday night, from Atlantic City. The first few weeks of the year are usually pretty slow, and I think this one was no different. This time last year, we had the fight out here in Frisco. You had Teofimo Lopez fighting on the card. You had Oscar Valdez taking on the Italian. I still remember that. And it's usually like that during the the beginning of the year, but we dive right into it. And from this weekend going forward for the next few months, we're going to be pretty active and we're going to be pretty busy. So I'm just going to dive into it. It's a Solo Dolo show. Looking forward to the trip down to San Antonio for the fights this weekend. Shout out to the homie out there covering Junior, repping, Troop Boxing Heads. You already know. But before we get there, we got the opener, the card that opens up the year of boxing. There's been boxing going on around the world. You know, it's a global sport, like we always say on the show and like we always preach. But nationally, U.S.-wise, it starts this Friday, tomorrow, Clarissa Shields. You know, y'all remember what happened the first time around, man. It was a disaster. Y'all know what happened out there in Michigan, man, in Flint. Supposedly Shields' brother, you know, well, it's not supposedly. It's supposedly her brother. But her brother did knock out Habazin coach Ivana. They remade the fight. They got it scheduled for tomorrow from Atlantic City. And it was going down. Props to the people behind the scenes making the fight, who redid the fight. You know, pumping up Clarissa Shields, you know, to be a superstar. She is, you know, she's legitimate. She's a protege. She's a prodigy, whatever you want to call it. She's already a champion. She's already legit. You know, the Olympic pedigree, you know what she's already done as the pros. She's aiming to make history, you know, win her third, another title in the third division. You know, she already did it 168, 160. Now she's moving all the way down to 154. And, she looks to make noise. And, you know, she's selling herself a little bit online, saying that, you know, she's the best athlete ever, that she's the greatest woman ever. And, you know, I'm not going to knock women's boxing because I support all boxing. But, you know, it's a big fish, small pond, you know what I mean? So, you know, there is no Ann Wolves right now. There is no – I mean, she's fighting Ivana Habazin, fairly unknown here in the States. So, you know, we'll see. You know, anything can happen in the fight. You know, I respect it. You know, I'll be tuned in for it. It's going down. I'll be watching it. They're fighting for the vacant WBC and WBO. And, again, man, props to people behind the scenes who made the fight. And they're doing a good job, man. Whoever's the PR on it, they're doing a phenomenal job. Because, you know, very rarely are they bringing up the incident. It was a horrible incident. I don't need to replay that. You know, it was a black eye on Sport of Boxing. It was a black eye on Flynn. It was a black eye on Clarissa Shields. She took it from all angles and all sides, so I don't need to pour on it anymore. You know, I hope she learns from it. I hope she becomes better from this, and I hope she learns to separate that. Sometimes family can hurt you. You know, in that situation, she could have checked it. She should have checked it, but it is what it is. There's another unification fight on the card, another woman's fight. You got Alicia Napoleon Espinoza taking on Elen Cedores. I think that's part of the Showtime telecast. Winner of that fight fights for the WBA and IBF super middleweight titles. The real star, in my opinion, and again, I'm not knocking Shields. Shields is legit. I respect her. I show her love. I'm not one of those who are going to talk shit and then kiss her ass. I've seen people who do that. You know, but to me, the bona fide star on this card is that kid, man, Boots. Jaron Ennis. Last time when the fight fell through, he was the main event. He stepped up. The kid is the real deal, man. He's a welterweight. If you don't know, now you know. You know how we do. Jaron Boots Ennis, he's a real fighter. He's a real prospect. Definitely someone to keep an eye on, and a legit fighter. I look forward to that fight. And you know, I'll be watching the main event, but the guy I really want to see is Ennis when he takes on Bakhtiyar Uliboff. Scheduled for 10 rounds, co-main event. I'm interested in that fight. Jacob Bonas on the card and Joseph Bonas. Shout out to them, Kronk. You know, the brothers out there from Michigan representing the Kronk. You know, they come from that tutelage, that Kronk gym. So, you know, I got love for those boys. You know, they're welterweights as well. You know, four-round action coming up. But definitely some names to, you know, keep in tune. Joseph and Jacob Bonas, man. Shout out to them. Shout out to Kronk. Rest in peace. And always love to Emmanuel Stewart. Saturday, man. Saturday's a hell of a night. You know, Atlantic City, you know, good for Atlantic City, man. Atlantic City kind of fell off. You know, it's not what it used to be as far as boxing. You know, the Gotti days, you know, the Holyfield days, the Tyson. They don't get as many fights, but this weekend to open 2020, I hope this is a change for them. You know, they got fights tomorrow, and then they got fights on Saturday. So, you know, if you were in Vegas for the weekend, shit, and you're a boxing head, that's the kind of shit we live for, right? You get two for one. You know, you go in for the fight, and then you get to stay for Jesse Hart versus Joe Smith Jr., the main event, light heavyweight. You know, Jesse Hart, Hollywood from Philadelphia. Y'all remember, you know, he had those wars with Suru Ramirez. Hell of fights, came up short twice in his title defense or title search. But now he's stepping up to Joe Smith. You know, Joe Smith Jr., the beast from Long Island, you know, retired Bernard Hopkins. At one point, looked unstoppable, man. He looked like nobody can beat him. Those two square off in the main event. I like that main event. I like that matchup. It's going down on ESPN. I'll definitely be watching that fight as well, man. I think winner of that fight sets himself up for a title shot. You know, Jesse Hart moved by Top Rank, and Joe Smith moved by Star Boxing. Shout out to Joe LaGuardia, Star Boxing, and definitely going to be watching that fight, man. Styles make fights. You know, I think Jesse Hart, the body definitely carries that weight, that size, good at light heavyweight. So let's see how he looks, man. And Joe Smith, man, let's see how it goes. And you know, when you step in the ring, anything can happen. Let him bang, man. I'm definitely going to be tuning in for that fight. It's definitely that co-main event, man. Steve Cold Nelson. Steve Nelson trained by Bo Mack and Team Crawford. We talked about that with Mo and Jamel Herron and the whole squad that they're building a strong, strong stable. Well, Steve Nelson, undefeated, man, stepping up to take Sam Kellick. Sam Kellick is one of those kids that you've seen on Showbox. He was, you know, I think No Excuses or No Limit is his management team. I remember running into the kid back in 2013, 14-ish. At the wild card, and he told me about this kid, Sim Kelly. Hey, watch out for my guy, man. I'm going to move him. I'm going to get him there. You know what, bro? You did it, man. Props to you, man. Talk is cheap. And the sport of boxing, it's a fucking hard sport to do it. And you did it, man. You got your guy. You know, we seen him on Showbox. We seen him on Showtime. But now he's going to be co-main event on ESPN. And without a question, winner of this fight definitely gets a huge fight. Definitely get a title shot. Steve Nelson undefeated. Definitely taking his toughest test to date. Sim Kellick, you know, we've seen him in test before. He passed those tests. Well, you know, he's facing off against another undefeated fighter. And, hey, may the best man win, man. It's going to go down. And the best man's got to win, right? And that's what happens, right? When you get into the ring, you box, and you let him go. And look forward to that fight, man. Real shit. Because I followed both of those guys. You know what I mean? I told you the story right now, and that was real. You know, about his manager. And then you see Steve Nelson coming up. And I remember watching him come up on Top Rank undercards. I remember watching him at the Tropicana Treasure Island. I remember fighting him. He was on the Jesse Hart versus Andrew Hernandez card. I remember that card and watching him there. And I thought to myself, oh, he's just a filler. You know, he's just a body. They're just plugging away. And then you started seeing him build wins and get better. Progressively get better, and he is now, man, a legit threat. He was supposed to fight a couple weeks back at the Madison Square Garden, but when the original co-main event for this fight fell through, Rob Brant, you know, they filled it up with this fight, and it's going down, man. From San Antonio, Texas, Jaime Sweet Baby Jesus Munguia taking on Gary Spike O'Sullivan. Jaime Munguia, His nickname is not Sweet Baby Jesus. I used to call him that, but it seems like the fade kind of, you know, the rise kind of, you know, I think it kind of plateaued a little bit because we haven't seen the same Jaime Munguia that we've seen against Saddam Ali. Could it be because of the competition that he's faced, you know, Dennis Hogan and, you know, different guys like that, where they were giving him work? They were giving him that work. At 154, he attributed to the weight. So he's moving up to 160. At this point, no excuses. You know, you moved up in weight. You said you had a great camp. Well, we're going to see what it does, right? You got to get in there. Obviously, everybody knows the story. You know, been training now, a couple fights with the legend, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Mexicans in Mexico's history, Eric El Terrible Morales. Well, he's taking on Gary Spike O'Sullivan, who says he knows he's got to get the KO to get any type of close whiff of a win in Texas. You know, unfortunately, Texas got that reputation a little bit. But more than anything, you know, he knows that he's coming in as the B-side. He knows Jaime Munguia is the A-side. And, you know, and San Antonio is the home. You know, I'm interested to see how Jaime Munguia sells. Obviously, the card is stacked with Texas talent. But if Jaime Munguia can sell, he joins the list of Oscar De La Hoya, Julio Cesar Chavez, El Gran Campeón Mexicano, and Canelo, of fighters, Mexican fighters who have gone into San Antonio. So if you can sell San Antonio, it's a good barometer as far as where you stand with the Mexican public, the boxing heads, and the real ones, because they're going to come out. And so far, the feedback I've been getting on social media is that it's going to be a legit crowd. We'll see. It's at the Alamo Dome. And, you know, you can go back and look at the Pernell Whitaker versus Chavez. Obviously, that matchup was elite, you know, Hall of Famers. But back then, who would have known, right? But that shit was packed to the brims. Oscar De La Hoya, when he fought, it was packed. When Canelo fought, he fought Austin No Doubt Trout. Man, I still remember that day like it was yesterday. Me and my partner, Joe Rome, one of our first big fights we covered. I still remember losing the bandanas. So, man, I took that L. I take the L. Lost some bandanas and a glove, man, over there wilding out at the mall. But, yeah, I mean, if Munguia can do the same as those guys, then I'm impressed. And then let's see how he does against Gary Spike O'Sullivan, a bigger guy. Is he going to be able to walk through these guys? Is he going to go the distance? Is he going to get better and show improvement and show that knowledge that Eric Morales says that he's showing in training, you know, that he's learning, he's getting better. So we'll see, man. I'm interested to see how Jaime Munguia does. You know, people talking about him eventually facing off against Canelo and on Mexican Showdown. You know, about a year or so ago, I thought he was still too green. But at this point, let's see how he does look. You know, obviously Canelo, you know, he moves boxing. So if he wants to go down to 160, he'll fight at 160. If he wants to stick to 168, he'll move to 168. You know, he can do whatever he wants. And Munguia is one of those names that have been mentioned. So we'll see how that goes. Co-main events, you got Francone, the Diva Cruz Dizron. She's defending her titles, the WBC and WBO titles against Alejandra Jimenez. We'll see how that fight goes. Some fights that I'm interested to see, you got Hector Tanahara, El Finito, taking a huge step up against Juan Carlos Burgos. Y'all remember Juan Carlos Burgos, signed to Thompson Boxing, fought Mikey Garcia, fought Roman Rocky Martinez to a draw. His last outing went the distance with Devin Haney and lost. It's a tough, tough, tough fight, man. It's one of the toughest fight by far for El Finito, Hector Tanahara Jr. Let's see how he does. You know, it's a fight that if he wins, he sets himself up for that Ryan Garcia fight. I was talking to a couple of people with Golden Boy, and I said, hey, on paper, and in my opinion, without no question, Juan Carlos Burgos is tougher than anybody Ryan Garcia's fought to date. So if Hector Tanahara wins this fight, he deserves that Ryan Garcia fight. He's tall, he's lengthy, he has the amateur pedigree. I'm not saying he can win, but I'm saying he can give trouble to Ryan Garcia. And it's a fight that I would want to see, and it's a fight that could easily be made because both guys are under the Golden Boy banner. And let them bang. You got Joshua Franco, the professor, taking on Jose Burgos, not related to Juan Carlos. Joshua Franco coming off those draws with Oscar Negrete, recently fought out here at Grand Prairie on the Virgil Ortiz, Antonio Roscoe on the card. He's back in the ring, looking to get back into the thick of things. Travail Black Maison taking on Fernando Castaneda. Travail Black Maison, man, now fighting at 154 pounds. Y'all know the story. We done seen him fight at 126. I've talked about that before. You got the kid from Grand Prairie who went to the same school as Virgil Ortiz, Tristan Calcruth. Tristan Calcruth, I believe. He's fighting on the card, light heavyweight, undefeated kid, tall kid, good kid, comes from a great family, definitely a fighter to watch. You got George Rincon, part of Rincon brothers. He's fighting Diego Perez. And also on the card, you got Hector Valdez, man. Hector Valdez, El Travieso, at one point was my prospect from Dallas. I used to always say he's the best prospect. By then, Errol Spence was already fighting. Errol Spence was already on his way to becoming a champion. So was Mo. I always said that Hector Valdez was that kid that could be the next best one. And he recently linked up with Robert Garcia, and I actually had that conversation with Robert Garcia, and I said, guess what, man? This kid right here is the real good. He's the goods. He's legit. You know, keep this kid. And here he is, man. He's fighting again. Junior featherweight. Remember the name, Hector Valdez, a legit fighter, a legit prospect, definitely a name to watch. And I'm going to be watching that fight, man. I'm interested to see him, man. I still think about his dad. His dad, every time he sees me, he runs up on me and talks about Los Tucanes and Corridos, because he's like, oh, Corridos, Tres Animales. And speaking of Tres Animales, man, shout out to Jaime Monquilla, who was rocking that shit at his media workout. And y'all remember, man, Tres Animales was that old True Talk Radio intro song. Vivo de Tres Animales had that one in that Rio Camacho Toro Encartado, that Mexicano flow, that Toma way. And it's going down, man. So Hector Valdez, shout out to him, man. Shout out to his pops. Shout out to the Ganes, True Talk Radio, classic music that forever be attached to me and what I do and what we do. And I'm excited about that card in San Antonio, man. I'm making the trip down with some of my peeps. I'll be linking up with a lot of my peeps out there in San Antonio. It's been a minute since I've been back, but here we are, man. We coming. 2020 has been a good start for me, and I'm focused on trying to get back to it as much as possible. I'm still focused on making this money and working. And like I've said before, man, till boxing pays the bills, you know, I got to take a little break. And those are the fights that we're going to be covering up next week. Those are the three main cards happening this week here to open up the year 2020. 2019, we had a few fights. You had the announcement of Teofimo Lopez taking on Lomachenko. You had, John Pascal, the beast with the fucking chin of a champion. He fought Badu Jack to a draw. You had Gervonta Davis get the unanimous decision, came in overweight, had to lose weight, fought Gamboa, stopped him late. Gamboa went the distance, and it was one of those fights where he took a lot of flack for, you know, not coming in weight originally. You're moving up from 130, 135, and you still come in overweight. And then you fight Gamboa, who gets hurt early in the fight, and you still don't stop him. But that's how it goes, right? Boxing people are always going to say something. End of the day, Gervonta Davis gets the win and moves on. You know, you got that drama and that back and forth between him and Ryan Garcia. You got Ryan Garcia saying, I'm already the biggest star. I'm even bigger star than Tank Davis. And then you had, you know, Tank Davis clapping back on Twitter saying, hey, been main event, right? What's his ticket sales? Get back with me with that, which is true. But Ryan Garcia will be headlining February 14th. What do they call that shit? Valentine's Day Brawl. That's going to be happening at Anaheim at the Honda Center. So he'll be having that fight. So it'll be his first main event. He's been fighting on Canelo undercards. So it's time to put up or shut up, man. Let's see how those ticket sales do. What else do we have? You had Ryota Murata. He fought Butler out there in Japan. He got the win. He retained his WBA belt. You had Roman Gonzalez on the undercard. He fought. He won. You had the Harrison Charlo rematch. Charlo stops Harrison. Harrison was fighting a hell of a fight. But he got stopped, man. He got dropped early in the fight, but regrouped and recovered and started fighting a hell of a fight, man, but just came up short. You know, Charlo with the power, rocked him, stopped him, and he gets his belt back, you know, in impressive fashion. I'm up for a third fight, given that they fought, already twice, and it's one-on-one. But in my opinion, Charlo definitely made a huge, huge statement, and congratulations to him who recaptures the belt. I think from that previous week, the big one, before I talk about that, was Maurice Mighty Mo Hooker. He got the win, his first fight under Bo Mack. Talked about him, Steve Nelson training, Jamel Herring, Terrence Crawford. He gets the win over Uriel Perez in the first round. Looked good, looked sensational, looked poised, looked calm, using that jab like he should have always been using, wasn't trying to brawl. Perez and his didn't really look like he wanted to be there. It looked like he was overmatched, but nonetheless, Mighty Maurice Hooker, true boxing head, true to the bone, gets the win, closes out 2019 with the win. His fight with Jose Ramirez and, you know, earlier in the summer was, you know, fight of the year candidate. That round three was up for round of the year. And, you know, he wants to make another run at 140, saying, hey, where I come from, you know, we don't go out like that. He wants another crack at the belt. You got the Mexicano, the star from Mexico, Julio Cesar Martinez. On that same card, he was the co-main event. He stopped Christopher Rosales. He captured the WBC flyweight title, the same belt that Charlie Edwards had. Y'all remember that fight? You know, they called it a no contest, saying that Martinez hit Edwards when he was down. But truth be told, Edwards is already on his way out. He did hit him with a low blow, and so they ended up calling the fight. In my opinion, it was inevitable. It's going to happen regardless. But they get, you know, he didn't win the belt that night, but he won it, and he won it rightfully outright against the former WBC champion, Rosales from Nicaragua. And Julio Cesar Martinez, man, remember the name, from Mexico, de Efe, tenemos todo menos miedo. I don't know if that's a Distrito Federal thing, because I remember Bam Bam Najera Daddy always said, tenemos todo menos miedo, miedo. I got everything except fear. And he showed that, man. And speaking of fear, man, sucks, man. Could be the end of Chavez Jr. If y'all remember that card, man. If y'all remember the fight against Daniel Jacobs, started off strong, started off fast, got cracked, and his nose broke, and then started pounding out his elbow. And, you know, I think Chris Mannix fucked it up, you know, saying that, oh, he's complaining about his arm. No, he was complaining about his nose. His nose broke. He could have fought on a little, but, you know, it's hard for us to say. Nonetheless, the fight was stopped. Phoenix, Arizona let him have it. It was a bad look for the crowd. It was a bad look for Chavez. It was a bad look for Chavez Sr. trying to defend his son. It's just one of those things, man. It's hard to say, you know, it's hard for you. Because I seen it live, and he cracked the shit out of him. You could see right away his nose was leaking. At one point, even Jacobs was like, what the fuck? And we'll see, man. That's how that ended. You know, that was 2019. I don't see Chavez getting any bigger fights. I do see Daniel Jacobs getting bigger fights. You know, 2020, here we go. True Talk Radio. Shout out to the Good Boss. Shout out to Val. Shout out to Joe Rome. Looking forward to kicking off our 2020 from Acapulco. Shout out to Lou. Shout out to Art. Shout out to Cosme. Shout out to OG Carlos Rivera. Shout out to everybody who supports, you know, the movement. It don't stop and it won't stop. True Talk Radio, True Boxing Heads. Y'all make sure to follow us at TRU Boxing Heads with a Z, True Boxing Heads, right? On all social media platforms, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, you name it, we got it. Just wanted to start the year off right. Just kind of get back in the groove of things. This show didn't take as long. I can actually count the weeks. It was 3 weeks from the last show we did. So, you know, I was going to try to do one a little bit earlier. You know, fuck all the end-of-year awards and all that shit. You know, knock out of the year. Well, the decade, no question, it was Juan Manuel Marquez KO over Manny Pacquiao. Fighter of the decade, no question, Floyd Mayweather. Anybody else says anything other than Floyd Mayweather, you know, you're either biased or you're hating. Because the other guys on that list, Canelo, he beat. Manny Pacquiao was on that list, he beat. You know, Klitschko's on there, Andre Ward, Roman Gonzalez. But no question, you know, fighter of the decade was Floyd Mayweather Jr. You got to give props what props is due, whether you want to call him the best ever or not. That's one thing, but fight of the decade and one of the best to ever do it, you got to tip your cap to him, man. So that's what it is, man. True Talk Radio. Again, looking forward to seeing that Finito versus Juan Carlos Burgos. Looking forward to see Munguia, how he looks at middleweight. looking forward to see Jaron Boot Ennis tomorrow, and then Clarissa Shields to see how she looks, you know, trying to make history. Look forward to that Jesse Hart versus Joe Smith, the Beast. I look forward to that fight on Saturday. Shout out to Team Finito. Shout out to everybody who supports, you know, True Talk Radio, True Boxer Heads. Man, we're going to sign out for today. Quick show, you know, a quick hitter, one hitter quitter. Solo Dolo, man, True Talk Radio, appreciate all the support. And again, y'all make sure to follow us, man. Kind of did it nonstop, but we'll be back next week, 1:38, recapping this week. And y'all know what it is, man, True Talk Radio, True Boxing Heads. And I'm going to let y'all go with that one time, man. I'm going to hit y'all. Bang.